way before I had ever met Lee. It was just something I knew about myself, or I thought I did, was that I didn't have the foresight or the skills or that kind of overarching knowledge that you need to have to be a good parent. And I thought, best not try.
I'm Jonathan Hirsch, and you're listening to Arrivals. Stories of migration, transformation, and change through the eyes of extraordinary men and women. The program that explores what we do when what we've done is a thing of the past. And this is the story of Julie Sparenberg.
I'm Julie Sparenberg, and I live in Vallejo, California. My partner, Lee, we moved together from Palo Alto. We just had enjoyed always coming up to visit San Francisco, and one day it dawned on us that we should move here, and so we moved and found a great flat right in the Inner Sunset. And we were together for almost 10 years. We were, I don't want to say friends with benefits, because I do think that there was a lot of love there. I think that we were definitely just two very different people coexisting in a space we both really liked a lot. And so we had a really great apartment, and we had two very separate lives, and we cared about each other, but we had a lot of things we didn't share. Came home, and Lee had suffered a stroke while I was out. I can't even put into words that feeling of coming home and seeing somebody that you love on the floor close to death. Brains are mysterious organs. They heal on their own time frame, and we don't know why or how sometimes. But, you know, he ended up having to move back home and living with his parents. Just there was too much care that I couldn't provide and that I couldn't pay for either. You know, you know, when something like that happens to you, you just have to deal with things as they come up. Luckily, I had a job at a nonprofit, and my boss was extremely understanding when I just couldn't come in. I had to be at the hospital for something. And so my work life dwindled down to almost nothing. And we had to move out. And so I spent my last weeks in San Francisco packing up everything and moving them into storage for Lee to deal with at some point. When you go and spend a lot of time in the hospital, I mean like every day for weeks and then months, you get a really clear view of how quickly things can change for somebody. When you're watching somebody you love in a hospital bed in pain and suffering, it's like it's happening to you. And then you get to that point where you realize, that could be me. I could be the person, that could be me next time. What I called home was gone. My best friend in the world was in many ways gone. And I couldn't enjoy my city. So I had to figure out how to navigate this new life that I didn't want. It took a while, but part of me felt after a while like you need to get out, you need to spend time with people, you need to start doing things that don't involve going to a hospital every day or feeling sad, which is hard when you felt sad for a long time.
Two doves came in the snow and rain, gray and white, in the middle of the night, and they watched me. Yes, they watched.
And I ended up meeting somebody that I never expected to meet. When somebody thought they had met their, quote, soulmate, that they were somewhat delusional and had watched too many movies or something like that, that those things didn't really happen. And then when it happened to me, I felt really stupid and funny. You know, I thought that was kind of great, actually.
Do you pray like me?
When I met Aaron, actually, we had a phone date, I guess if you can call it that. And I was sick. Like, I had a sore throat and I was losing my voice. And we couldn't stop talking on the phone. And it was really funny. We both don't now really remember what our conversation was, but he kept losing cell phone reception and had to keep calling me back. And I kept saying, I'm not going to be able to talk much longer. My voice won't last. And we both kept saying we should hang up or our phones are dying, and we pretty much talked until I had no voice left and we had no phone batteries. And then when we decided to meet, it felt like everything had already happened. Like, it was a formality of us meeting and realizing that that person on the phone was just as incredible in real life. Aaron has two daughters, Nadia and Mila. And Nadia, we met at the children's playground. And, or we walked there. We met at the Conservatory of Flowers, and we walked to the children's playground. And by the time we had gotten to the children's playground, Nadia grabbed one of my hands and looked at me straight in the eye and said, I knew I would love you. And I was so close to tears. It's just, she was so matter of fact and sure of herself that I was like, it took my breath away. It still does to even think about that she knew right then. She said, I knew as soon as I saw you that I would love you.
And does the holy notion hear a cry? Do you tie your letters tight?
I couldn't believe I was having these thoughts. I thought, I'm going to ask Aaron to marry me. This is crazy. I'm going to ask him to marry me. And because we think the same, I didn't even get a chance to ask him. It was that same day that he asked me. We got married 5 weeks after we met, which I think for people that I'm sure a majority of people who knew me thought I was crazy. I kind of did in a way. But then other people totally got it. I was like, you know what? This is here. And I think this is what's going to happen. And I don't believe it's a mistake. And if it is, then oh well. But again, I think the other more mortal lessons are hanging over my head. It's like, you know, sometimes you just have to go and take that leap. And this was one where I had complete trust that we were going to be a family. And so when we decided to get married, I'm sure the first time where I felt that with the girls was when we were getting married. And again, Nadia, in her infinite child wisdom, said that we were all getting married. It was their wedding day too.
Do you cry? Do you pray like me? In the middle of the night.
Arrivals is produced, written, and recorded 2 stories above the snow-covered porches of the lovely East Williamsburg neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York, by me, Jonathan Hirsch. Special thanks to Julie, Aaron, Mila, and Nadia Sparenberg for sharing their story. To Ben Cruz for providing mixing, mastering, and sound design help with today's episode. And to my wife and other half, Valerie Hirsch.
Two doves came in the snow and rain, gray and white.
The The song weaving its way in and out of today's episode is called Two Doves and was performed by the Tucson-based band Wolf Larsen. More on their beautiful music can be found at wolflarsenmusic.com. If you like what you've heard today, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. You can find a link to it right on the front of our website, along with our archives, written work, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook pages, all at arrvls.com. Additionally, I release a weekly microcast about arrivals, life in New York, and much more called En Route, which you can find there as well. And until we meet again, may you wind up where you need to be.
Pray like me.